Yes. Yes. The brother asked the question in reference to what we mentioned yesterday, that the angels are perfectly organized in their ibadah and their worship, and them saying Ameen, they say it together. No. Let's take the questions related to the subject first, on the angels, inshallah. We mentioned it yesterday, yes. Yeah, we mentioned all this yesterday too. There's a difference of opinion. So the best thing to do is just keep all of them out, period. And keep all the pictures out as much as you can. No, it doesn't mention the area where you're praying, because the hadith is explicit. It says the house. It says the house.
No compromise.
Well, there's compromise, but it's better to just stay away from all of it. It's better to stay away from all of it. Wallahu a'lam.
Mirrors and pictures?
Mirrors are not pictures. Mirrors are different. Because a mirror is not you trying to imitate the creation of Allah. A mirror is a reflection of yourself that is actually you, no different from you looking through this glass plate window and me seeing you on the other side. This is different from a person taking their hand and making the image of the person. When you leave that mirror, your image is gone. A picture, your image stays there. That person has attempted to imitate the creational abilities of Allah. It's a big difference. So covering mirrors has no basis in the Sunnah. Those Muslims who cover their mirrors and their television screens and things like this is no basis for this in the Sunnah whatsoever. The Prophet had a mirror. There's no evidence of him covering the mirror in his house. He had a mirror. He used to make dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, make me good in morals," as there was maybe an appearance when he looked in the mirror. This is not from the Sunnah. Let's keep it towards the angels too, inshallah. Yeah, let's keep it towards the angels, inshallah, because we'll never be able to get past this stuff. Anything else about the angels? Nothing? Yes. Alaykum salam.
Same thing, but I'm talking about Muslims and God being artists.
No, no. Okay. We should stay away from it. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Unless there's some sisters who have something. If they do, you're kind of slow bringing it up. If you don't have anybody to... I guess there's nobody over there to get it for them, huh? Nobody over there to get it for the sisters? If there are any sisters that have anything, please try to send it up with a young sister back there. Or a young brother. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. Wa ala alihi wa sahabatihi wa sallama tasliman mazida. Amma ba'd. We'd like to begin now with this aspect of the jinn. Yes. You're right, absolutely. It wasn't related to the angels. It's personal. Which he'll deal with when he gets home. Yes. Yes. There's no shyness in being the brother thing. So, I mean, shyness in the sense that we shouldn't be embarrassed to ask questions no matter on what subject. But also, inshallah, sometimes we should try to figure out ways to say things so that we can not offend anyone. Okay, we know that the hadith of Jibril where the Prophet ﷺ was visited by him, Jibreel ﷺ, and he mentioned when Jibreel asked him for أخبرني عن الإيمان, so inform me what is Iman, and the Prophet said, and تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وأن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That is the belief in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers in the last day, and that you believe in the divine decree, the good results of it and the evil results of it. In this particular hadith where the Prophet mentioned these six things as the belief of Iman, he didn't mention the jinn. He did not mention the jinn. But the ulama, the scholars of Islam, say that belief in the jinn is a naw' min anwa' al-malaika, or Iman al-malaika. That is, that it is a type, it is a department, so to speak, or a part of the belief in the angels. Because they are creatures which are of the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in His Quran, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this is the book, there is no doubt in it, there is no doubt in it, it is a guide for those who have taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So the first attribute that Allah mentions of those who have taqwa are those who believe in the unseen. And as a part of the belief in the unseen is a belief in the jinn. So therefore, we can extrapolate from that, that any individual who does not believe in the existence of a jinn are the same as an individual who does not believe in the existence of an angel, they're kafir. And once the clear evidence has been brought to them, it's been brought to them in a respectful manner, educatedly delivered to them, not harshly, clear from Quran and Sunnah, that jinn are actual creatures. And they say, we don't believe that they exist, this person is a kafir. If they die like this, you shouldn't wash or shroud their bodies or make four takbirs. But if they say that the jinn, as we mentioned yesterday with the angels, is a creature that is, which we'll give some examples I have here, is a creature that is not really a jinn, it's really like forces of evil, forces of nature, or weak ideas, wrong thinking and lies in a person's head, or a person, evil suggestions, or clever foreigners, or something like that, then we can't say this person is a kafir. Yeah, because they're making tahrif. They're changing the meaning of this aspect of our belief. But if they say, and it's been clearly presented to them, that there is no such thing as a jinn, absolutely this person is a kafir. Okay, yes. We're coming to it right now, inshallah. Inshallah. And the question was from the brother, besides the bad jinn, are there any good jinns? Okay. As far as the jinn are concerned, what we need to know, first of all, what are they? What actually are the jinn? The linguistic meaning of the word jinn, the word jinn comes from the Arabic word jannah, the verb jannah. Jannah. And this word literally means something that is hidden from your view. Something that is hidden from view. That's the literal meaning. We know that this creature is in a world of its own. And incidentally, the word Jannah with the ta' al-marbuta, the word paradise, it comes from the same root as the word jinn comes from. Because it's something that's hidden from your view. That's why it's called Jannah. Yes. Does the word Junoon, which means insane? Yes. The word Junoon comes from the same word that Jinn comes from. Or Majnoon. Comes from the word, which is the Ismul maf'ud, which is a passive participle, that means one who has been affected or possessed or touched by the jinn. Which doesn't necessarily mean that the person is possessed by a jinn. Inshallah. No, or shaitan either. It doesn't necessarily mean that. And we're going to, if we have time, we're going to come to that. It is all insanity, jinn possession. Not necessarily the case. Okay. So we know that the jinn have their own world, and they're different from the human beings, and they're different from the angels. But there are some characteristics which the jinn do share with the human beings. Those characteristics, number one, they have the ability to think, they have the ability to rationalize, they have the ability to reflect, they have the ability to ponder, etc. That's one of the attributes or the characteristics that the jinn have that they share with the human being. There are some comments that have been made about jinn in the past meaning among the Muslims of the past, and also the Muslims of our day. But we won't go into detail. Maybe when we get to questions and answers, inshallah, we can come to that. The jinn also have the ability, like the human being, to choose good or evil. The only thing that separates us from the jinn, as far as characteristics are concerned, is their origin. The origin of the jinn is a different origin from the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the Quran, going back to the linguistic meaning of the word jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا بني آدم لا يفتينكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليرهما سوآتهما إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم إنا جعلنا الشياطين أولياء للذين لا يؤمنون. O children of Adam, let not Shaitan seduce you as he caused your first parents to go from the Jannah and tore off from them their robe and picked off this robe of innocence, that he might manifest their shame to them. Surely he sees you, he and his tribe, from whence you see him not. So the jinn, you don't see them. This is why they call jinn, because they're obscure from your view. Surely we have made the shaitans protecting friends for those who don't believe. This is Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 27. Now, as far as the origin of the jinn, Allah has informed the human being of the origin of the jinn, that they've been created from fire. In chapter 15, Surah Al-Hijr, verse 27, Allah says, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقَنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And the jinn did we create before, meaning aforetime, of essential fire. That's the way Pickthall translates it. As essential fire. Min nar samum. And in Surah Ar-Rahman, in verse 15, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْخَلَقَ الْجَانَ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Verse 15 of Surah Ar-Rahman. Surah 55. And the jinn, he did create a smokeless fire. According to Ibn Abbas, Ikrimah, Mujahid, and Al-Hasan, the meaning of marriage in minnar, that he created him from that smokeless fire, means the extremity of a flame. The extremity of a flame. This is the meaning of it. According to those illustrious companions and their students from among the Tabi'un. Extremity of fire, meaning that the fire at its height of heat. According to Imam an-Nawawi, he says that it means the flame mixed with the blackness of the fire. For those who don't know, fire has also the color black in it. And this is supposedly the hottest part of fire. The part of the fire that's black in color. It is recorded in the Muslim, on the authority of Aisha, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, خلقت الملائكة من نور وخلق الجان من نار وخلق آدم مما وصف لكم. That the angels were created from light, that the jinn are created from smokeless fire, and or from fire, not smokeless fire, but fire, and Adam was created from that which has been described to you, meaning by Allah in the Quran, as we mentioned this yesterday with the angels. Now, when were the angels created? Excuse me, the jinn created? There is no doubt whatsoever among the scholars of the past and the present that the jinn were created before the human being. No doubt whatsoever. And if you look in chapter Al-Hijr, in verse 26 and verse 27, the 27th verse we already recited, but the verse before that says, وَلَقَدَ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَثْنُونٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَثْنُونٍ وَالْجَانَ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُونَ. Surely we created man of potter's clay, dark mud altered, as Pixball translated it, and the jinn we created aforetime of essential fire. This verse clearly states that the jinn were created before the human being. There are some scholars who are of the opinion that they were created 1,000 years before human beings, but there's no evidence for this. There's also, I think I mentioned yesterday, or maybe I didn't. No, I don't know if I mentioned yesterday that there's a creature called Bin. There's a creature called Bin that Ibn Kathir mentions in his book Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya. And the authenticity of this story of these Bin being created, and they used to be terrorized by the jinn, the authenticity of it is not authentic. As for the names of the jinn, according to Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, he says the jinn, according to the scholars of the Arabic language, they have different types. The first type of jinn, by name, is when you see the word, or when you mention a jinn by itself, it's called jinni. Jinni. And anyone who remembers the television show used to come on in the 60s, I Dream of Jeannie, this was supposed to have been a jinn. She was supposed to have been a jinn.
She was.
She was? Oh, wow, wow. Then the second type of jinn, when a person mentions the jinn that live among the human beings, this type of jinn is called Amir. Amir. And if I take the time to spell these things, it's going to take a lot of time. So just try to say it the way, spell it the way you hear it. Yes.
I have read that people forgive themselves of their deeds, judgment will, surround
them. That people who give themselves up to what? Yeah, the brother, for the people who can't hear, the brother's making the comment that he has heard that people who make mockery, people who make mockery of Islam, of Allah and the Prophet, certain jinns will come to them. It sounds logical. I don't know of any evidence from Quran or Sunnah that this is explicitly stated, but it definitely sounds logical. You're gonna catch a bad one if you talk about Allah and His Messenger in a bad light. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The plural for the word Amir, which is the angel, the jinn that lives among the human beings, is Ammar. Ammar. And the singular is Amir. When an angel, mimma yu'radu lis-sibyan, when a jinn is found to, the jinn that usually instigate children, instigate and give trouble to children, you find this type of jinn, this jinn is called arwah. Arwah.
Makes them get in trouble or inflicts trouble upon them.
The ones who antagonize the young people. When a jinn, we mentioned the evil jinn that antagonize human beings, these jinn are called shaytan. Shaytan. And the plural for shaytan is shayateen. Shayateen. And if the jinn becomes stronger and more devilish, this is called ifrit. This jinn is called ifrit. Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that al-jinnu thalathatu asnaf, that the jinn is of three types. One that stays airborne, that flies in the air. The other one, which takes the form of serpents and dogs. And the other one, which stays in places and travels about. And this is collected by Imam al-Tabarani and al-Hakim. And Al-Bayhaqi says in one of his books called Al-Asma' wa-Sifat, also he makes this statement, and this, the chain of the hadith is authentic. In places that that remains in certain places and also wanders about. Okay, we mentioned earlier about people who deny the existence of the jinn. There are some individuals who, as we mentioned, have said that jinn is a human being with weak ideas, wrong thinking, and lies. Or jinn is a person who has a fiery nature. Or jinn is a clever foreigner. Or jinn is, as Muhammad Asad, unfortunately, Afa'ullahu anhu, may Allah forgive him. He said that the jinn are microbes and bacteria. And the reason why we didn't know this before is because we didn't have these advanced scientific technological, or this technological advancements. So now since science has advanced, now we know what the jinn are. They're microbes and organisms and bacteria. We also we talked about the individuals who change the meaning of the jinn, and we mentioned that a person who changes the meaning of the jinn, we don't make a stink about it, you know, but we should warn them that this is they're in the danger zone when they deny the existence of the jinn by way of changing the meaning.
Is that the same?
Yeah, you came. Yeah, we mentioned this. Yeah, before you came. Also, we know that the people of the past, they believed in the existence of the jinn, even among the Ahl Kitab. The people among the Ahl Kitab believed in the existence of the jinn. So this new phenomena of Muslims disbelieving in the existence of the jinn is even contrary to the Ahl Kitab's belief. Yes. Yeah, he's mentioning the jinn that are present when the man is intimate with his wife and he don't mention Bismillah. I don't know of the hadith myself. I don't know of it. Inshallah, if you can find it, we can check it out. Yeah. Inshallah, if you can find it for us, we can check it. Inshallah, check the authenticity of it. Because many of the hadiths in Mishkat al-Masabih are not authentic, as well as Tirmidhi. So we should but they're not sahih. That's the name of them, but that doesn't mean they're sahih. This is a misnomer among Muslims. As far as the jinn and the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the word shaitan in the Quran in many places, quite a few places. And we know that the shaitan is a creature that is created from fire because he is of the jinn. Even though there were some Muslims, there are some Muslims who believe that the jinn or the shaitan is a fallen angel. And we don't make a big stink about it because some of the people who believe that that Iblis is from the angels are people who are eminent individuals with much more knowledge than all of us, no doubt. And if the narrations are true, they are also them from the Sahaba. From the Sahaba, the Messenger of Allah. If the narrations are true, as we mentioned yesterday, there's some of them from the Sahaba who believe that Iblis was an angel. We're not saying that it's true. We're just saying that we shouldn't say astaghfirullah if someone says that Iblis is from the angels, because if the narrations are true, the Sahaba also believed it. Some of them. We mentioned yesterday that on the subject of the angels, that there's a discussion among the scholars of Islam if the angels have free will, and it seems as though that there's no proof that they don't have free will. There's no absolute proof that they don't have free will. But this was yesterday's class. Yes. Once again, there's no proof, and that's yesterday's class, that the angels only incited to do good, and they can only do good. There's no absolute proof for this. There's no proof. Because a creature, and which is, once again, we mentioned this yesterday, and we talked about it for a good 25 minutes, in fact. In detail, we talked about it. Just because a creature does good, it doesn't mean he doesn't have free will. Because there are human beings called Awliya Allah, Wali Allah, that don't do evil. And they're human beings and they have free will. Just because they carry out Allah's command, it doesn't mean they can't carry out Allah's command. No, Omar never said Shaitan was afraid of him. No, the Prophet ﷺ said, if Omar were to take a road, then Shaitan was taking this road, Shaitan would take another road. But this still doesn't prove that Shaitan is, that Iblis is not from the angels. This doesn't prove that. We're not saying that it's not true, that Iblis is from the jinn. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is that if the narrations are true, there are Sahaba that believe they were from the angels, that Iblis is from the angels, if those hadiths are authentic. And that's why we shouldn't say astaghfirullah, because if we say astaghfirullah, what are we implying? That the companions didn't know what they were doing, and they didn't know Islam better than us? So that's what I'm saying. That's the only point I'm trying to make. But we know that the Iblis is from the jinn. The evidence for it is overwhelming, pointing to that point. But once again, if the narration is true, there are some Sahaba and Tabi'un who say that Iblis was from the angels. Yes. Say that again.
I said,
Yeah, the young brother is asking the question, where did Iblis get the evil from if he was told to bow down to Adam, then where did he get the evil from if he was always good? That goes back once again to that God does not, is there absolute proof that angels can't do evil? It goes right back to that again. Yeah, we have to leave it. Okay, as far as Iblis is concerned, the Shaitan, we know that he used to worship Allah at the beginning of his creation, and he lived among the angels in the heavens, and then he entered paradise, and then he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he refused to prostrate to Adam, as the young brother just mentioned, and out of pride he became arrogant, and he became very jealous, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw him from his mercy. We know this. The word shaitan in the Arabic language means it's a generic term for anything that is rebellious. Any arrogant rebel. Any arrogant rebel is considered a shaitan. And that's the linguistic meaning. That's not the religious meaning. That's not the religious meaning. I repeat, that's not the religious meaning. That is the linguistic meaning. It means any you mean the meaning of shaitan? You want the Arabic? I couldn't understand what you were saying. It means mutamarrid. Yeah, mutamarrid. Aatin, kullu aatin mutamarrid. Yeah. I just did. Arrogant rebel. He was asking for arrogant rebel in Arabic, and now you're asking me to give aatin mutamarrid back into English again. Huh? That's a linguistic meaning. Right. Right. As far as the general use of it, it means, as far as the specific use of it, it means that he was arrogant and he rebelled against his Lord. That's what it means, the religious meaning. And for Brother Nabil, وَقَدْ أُطْلِقَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لعفوه وتمرده على ربه. He is also called Taghut in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 76. Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ فَقَاتَلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. That those who do battle for the cause of Allah, those who believe, they fight in the way of Allah, and those who disbelieve they fight in the way of Taghut. And they fight, so then Allah says, so fight the awliya of shaitan, for surely shaitan's plan or strategy is weak. The word taghut is a word which there's some differences of opinion on the meaning of it. The literal meaning of it means one who has transgressed the bounds. It comes from the verb tagha, taghut. Taghut is not, I repeat, taghut is, the origin of the word taghut is not Arabic. It is not an Arabic word. In fact, both words, those words jibt and taghut, are not Arabic. Mentioned in the Quran. There are some words in the Quran that are not purely Arabic. No, it's Coptic. Coptic. The word Iblis comes from the Arabic word Al-Balasa. Al-Balasa in the Arabic language means La Khayrun Indahu. It means there's no good in him. That's the literal meaning of Iblis. It comes from the word al-balasa, which means there's no good in him. That's the linguistic meaning. The linguistic meaning. And the word oblis means ya'isu wa tahayyar, which means he despaired and lost. To have despair and to have lose all hope of something. Hopeless. Both of these meanings are the linguistic meaning of Iblis. Yes.
Junud
al-Shaytan. Junud al-Shaytan. Yes, Junud al-Shaytan. Yes, the army of Satan.
Right.
Yeah, that's one type of jinn. Yes, the brother is making mention, for those who can't hear, he's making mention of He's making mention of the shaitan, Iblis, having his throne over water, which we're going to come to, inshallah. Iblis having his throne over water, and he sends out his dispatches in the day to do the devilishment.
What's the difference, right, between shaitan and Iblis?
We're going to come to that, inshallah. We're going to come to that, the difference between shaitan and Iblis. There's some earlier scholars that call Shaitan Azazil. Azazil. This is unfounded. Azazil. This is unfounded. We don't have any authenticity for this, so we should just leave it and not call him this. All right. From what we find in the Quran, as far as the creation of shaitan, and what we find in the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that shaitan has the ability to think, that he has a mind, is the ability to understand and that he moves about. And he's not, once again, what some people say is an evil spirit, which takes the shape of the evil conscious of the animalistic part of the human being. This is not Shaitan. As far as the origin of Shaitan, we've already stated that he's of the jinn. Even though, once again, there are some who say that he's from the angels. Also, as in line of what one of the brothers was just saying, that Shaitan, some people have the opinion that Shaitan was not the origin of the jinn, but he was just among them. He was just among them. And the text, of course, is clear on that. Though, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, says that Iblis, or excuse me, Shaitan, was the origin of all the jinn. The same way that Adam is the origin of all human beings. And this can be found in Majmu' al-Fatawa, in the fourth volume on page 235 and to 346. Now we'd like to move to the ta'am and the sharab of the jinn. What is their food and what is their drink? The jinn and the shaitan among them, or the shayateen among them, eat and drink, which has been evidenced in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Huraira, that he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had ordered Abu Huraira to get some stones in order for the Prophet to make istijmar. Istijmar, I'm sure we know what istijmar is. It is a type of istinja in which you clean yourself with the stones. He ordered Abu Huraira to get this, to get these stones, and to clean himself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he cleaned himself, after defecating, he told Abu Huraira, "Don't bring azam, don't bring the bones, wala birawtha, and don't bring dung." And then Abu Huraira asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam why he specifically mentioned these particular things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahuma min at-ta'am al-jinn." He said, "They are the food of the jinn. They are the food of the jinn." It's also recorded with an authentic chain in the Sunan of at-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tastanju bil-rawth ولا بالعظام فإنه زاد إخوانكم من الجن." Don't clean yourselves with dung or with bones, for they are food for your brothers among the jinn. And also in the Sahih of Muslim, on the authority of Abdul ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it recorded that a messenger from among the jinn came to the Prophet, and he went with them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read to them some verses from the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the people the remains of their ember, E-M-B-E-R, the embers, atharu niranihim. These charcoal things, these embers of hot coals. He showed them the remains of the embers, and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about their provisions, and he told them, quote, that every bone on which the name of Allah has been mentioned, which had meat on it, every bone on which the name of Allah has been mentioned will have meat on it for you. And the dung are fodder for your animals. Then he said, "Do not clean yourselves with them, for they are the food of your brothers. And the food of your brothers means the Muslims from among the jinn. The Prophet also informed us that the shaitans, and this is a big, big problem among the Muslims, that the shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand. That the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَخِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِيَمِينِهِ وَإِذَا شَرِبَ فَلْيَشْرَبْ بِيَمِينِهِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِشِمَالِهِ وَيَشْرَبُ بِشِمَالِهِ. This hadith is in the Sahih al-Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar. He said that if one of you eats, he should eat with his right hand, and if
told the boy, كُلْ بِيَسَمِّ اللَّهِ كُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ وَكُلْ مِمَّا لَيَلِيكَ. Start with the name of Allah, eat with your left hand, and eat that which is closest to you. Coming with your right hand, and eat that which is closest to you. This is a boy now, this is not an adult. And further, we have the hadith that is in Muslim that you find in Riyad al-Salihin with an authentic chain, that the Prophet ﷺ told a man who was in his presence, كُلْ بِيَمِينَكِ, eat with your right hand. And the man said, مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ, I'm not able to. And then the Prophet made dua and said, لَا اسْتَطَعْتَ, may you never be able to eat with it. And then the hadith goes on and says that nothing prevented him from doing this except kibr, except pride. And it says afterwards he was never able to raise his hand to his mouth again. And there's many, many other hadiths on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu in Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us not to eat with the left hand. He has ordered us not to eat and drink standing. He has associated the eating and drinking of the left hand and standing with shaitan. And he has even told the person who was drinking water, throw it up, just for standing, drinking. Because it's part of shaitan. It's the action of shaitan. In fact, there's a hadith in the Darimi, in the Sunan of the Darimi, on the authority of Abu Zibyan, if my memory serves me correctly, with an authentic chain, that says that Anas said that the Prophet, and it's also in Muslim, that the Prophet saw a man drinking with his left hand, drinking standing, and the Prophet said, would you like to drink with cats? And he said, no. He said, well, you just drank with someone who is asharru wa akhtas, more evil and more abominable, shaitan. Walking with one shoe is nothing. It's not connected to shaitan. This is only so that you won't fall. Yes.
Have you heard a narration of the Prophet, allegedly said, allegedly showed that he hates drinking, stood up drinking to show that it was little?
Yeah, the hadith that talks about, and we don't want to get away from the subject, but the hadith that mentions the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you find the hadith in al-Bukhari, I believe in the book of drinks, where you find Ali radiallahu anhu saying, not the messenger of Allah, Ali radiallahu anhu saying, I saw the messenger of Allah drinking, standing, and you may not like it. The reason why I'm standing is because I saw the Messenger of Allah drinking while standing. Him saying this to the people around him. We don't want to make a long, drawn-out thing because we have a lot of talk to talk about this, the jinn and shaitan. But simply, the basic rule in Sharia is that when you have an authentic hadith that seems to contradict another authentic hadith, and that one hadith is a statement of the Messenger of Allah, I mentioned this before here at least two or three times since I've been coming here, maybe it'll sink in this time. When you have the basic rule in usul is that when you have two authentic hadiths that seem to contradict each other, one is the statement of the Messenger of Allah and one is the action of the Messenger of Allah, the rule is you take the statement of the Messenger of Allah over the action of the Messenger of Allah. It's a basic rule in Sharia. So how much more the statement of the Messenger of Allah over the statement of Ali? Doesn't hold any water. Yes. And I hope this is dealing with shaitan and the jinn.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you know how a person is eating, and you know how sometimes a person uses their left hand to help? Like,
no problem. Using the left hand to pour, using the left hand to break the food, using the left hand to hold the food is no problem. Putting it in the mouth and eating it. Yeah, this is the problem. Also, we have the hadith that's collected by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إِذَا دَخَلَ الرَّجُلُ بَيْتَهُ فَذَكَرَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ حِينَ يَدْخُلُ وَحِينَ يَطْعَمُ قَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَا مَبِيتَ لَكُمْ وَلَا عِشَاءَ هَاهُنَا وَإِنْ دَخَلَ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرْ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ دُخُولِهِ قَالَ أَدْرَكْتُكُمُ الْمَبِيتَ وإن لم يذكر اسم الله عند طعامه قال أدركتم المبيت والعشاء." The English translation of this is that if a man enters his house and mentions the name of Allah upon entering it and upon eating in his house, the shaytan says, "There is no housing for you here and no meal here." But if a man enters his house and neglects to mention the name of Allah upon entering it, the shaitan says, "I have found housing for you." And if he doesn't mention Allah's name upon eating his meal, the shaitan says, "I have found housing and a meal." This hadith was recorded by Imam Muslim, and these hadith are clear texts and on proof that shaitan eats and drinks. There's a story I remember reading one time, which is not based on authentic hadith, and I'm not using it once again as dalil. I'm only using it as a reference. It was in one of these Sufi books, but the meaning of it is very good. It was saying that the jinn that eats with a person when they don't say bismillah, according to this hadith, the sound hadith, that is, that one jinn, a real fat jinn, was coming down the street, and a real skinny jinn was coming down the other way. So the fat jinn, it's a children's book, the fat jinn said to the skinny jinn, "Man, what happened to you?" You know, he was emaciated, you know, messy, you know. He said, "Oh, my companion never always says bismillah when he eats." the skinny one, in other words, never got any food because his companion always said bismillah. But there'll be a little laughter there, you know. Don't tell the children this is from the Prophet, though. It's, you know, it's just a story, you know. No, they don't only eat dung and bones, but this is the food that has been designated for them. Yeah. There's a point here that in the same manner that it's prohibited for a man to eat any meat that hasn't the name of Allah hasn't been mentioned, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, permitted the believing jinn to eat any bone that has had the name of Allah pronounced over it. That is, the name of Allah pronounced over it when it had meat on it. That's what it means. And they're not the jinn among the Muslims, or say the Muslims among the jinn, they're not permitted to eat meat over that which Allah's name has not been mentioned. Alright? Anything that has been eaten without having the name of Allah mentioned over it provides food for the kuffar among the jinn. The kuffar among the jinn. Yes.
Where was they when the time was from? They had to be there at the time it was spoken of.
How would the jinn know that the name of Allah hasn't been pronounced? Or has been pronounced? The same way that we know if the meat has the name of Allah been pronounced over. They go to the halal bone store. That's pretty good, man. However we know if the name of Allah has been mentioned over the meat, I would imagine this is the same way they know. Well, they're creatures of the unseen, you know. So they see things, and they have information that we don't have. So, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Incidentally, this is why many scholars have the opinion that food, that the animal that dies of itself, this is the food for the shaitans, and you shouldn't partake of it because the name of Allah hasn't been mentioned over it. Ibn Qayyim, one of the students of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he is of the opinion that that based on the ayah of Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 90, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. That the verse starts out, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, oh you who believe, خمر and gambling and idols and the divining of arrows are only an infamy of shaitan's handiwork. Leave it aside in order that you may be successful. Ibn Qayyim, because of this, says that the intoxicating beverages or things that are used to intoxicate people are the beverages and the reefers and the cracks and the whatever for the shaitan, because he's the one that orders his patrons to drink it and to consume it. So this is their particular drinks. Yeah, I don't know of any proof that I'm relating to the brothers making the statement that if you're asking the question that makes the statement, rhetorical question. Yes, if a person consumes the khamr or the khanzir, would this make us liable for the shaitan, the jinn to possess us? Allah knows best. I don't know of any. I don't know of any text that would say this right out. But definitely, shaitan has inspired the individual to do it. That's no doubt. And definitely, that person is setting themselves up to let shaitan or the shayateen do whatever. That's for sure, and no doubt in that. You're right. Yeah, he had his hand up a couple of times. Yeah. Go ahead. The pig is created from Allah, just like the shaitan is created by Allah. Does that answer your question? Alhamdulillah. Oh, you were going to say something? Yeah.
Suppose we have a teenager that can put up in Atlanta, and they know the criteria. You said I and the coach. And they willfully become disobedient to Allah. As a girl, don't want to cover the sun, want to hang out. Will Allah allow an instrument, a evil instrument, to accompany them?
Allah who?
Will Allah allow our evil them,
yeah, there's verses in Quran that are clear that anyone who rebels against Allah, shaitan is given us, they have a partner. Shaitan becomes their partner. Yeah, Allah becomes their partner. Shaitan becomes their partner. Okay, now we come to the section on, do the jinn marry and procreate? There's a lot of discussion on this subject, and unfortunately, much of the talk about the shaitan, about the jinn procreating, most of it is conjecture. The only thing that we have authentic is the verses from the Quran and Surah Rahman, chapter 55, verse 56,
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌّ. Therein are those of modest gaze which whom neither man nor jinn will have touched before them. So this is a proof that the jinn will have mates. This is a proof that jinn have mates. Also, there's an ayah in Surah Al-Kahf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. And remember when we said unto the angels, fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate all except Iblis, he was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will you choose him and his seed? Will you choose him and his progeny for your protecting friends instead of me when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers. So these two verses, verse 50 of Surah 18 and verse 56 of Surah 55, are proof that the jinn have children. And one of the writers on Islam, in his book, he writes a book called Lawami' al-Anwar al-Bahiyya. He says that, and whether it's authentic or not of what he said, the jinn have children in the same way that the sons of Adam have children, but theirs are more in number. Yes. Asking the question for if there are any sisters. I don't know if any sisters are over there, but he's asking the question, if we're saying that jinn get married and have children, then where how come shaitan doesn't have one? With the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, without any absolute proof, they have given us information that implies that shaitan has a wife. Yes. Yeah, the statement in Surah Al-Kahf about the Dhurriya, the progeny of Shaitan, implies that he has a wife, but not necessarily. Shaitan could be making jinn progeny without being married. Could be. Yeah, that's right. Yes. The Huri Ain in Jannah, they're neither jinn nor angel nor man nor human being. No. No. Huris are not jinn. Yeah, no. The Huri Ain and not jinn. This is a totally different creature. According to Wahab ibn Munabbih radiallahu anhu, one of the great tabi'un, he says the jinn are of different kinds. One is a pure jinn, and that one is like wind, which doesn't eat or drink, and it doesn't die nor procreate. And there's another class of them which eats, drinks, and procreates and has sex and dies. And those are those female demons and desert demons and similar ones. This is a statement from him. Ibn Jarir at Tabari. Ibn Jarir at Tabari is the one who collected this particular statement of Wahab ibn Munabbih. There are some scholars who discuss the nature of the eating of the jinn. And they say it's similar to that of the human beings, like they swallow, etc. But we shouldn't go into detail on these things, because if we don't have clear text, you know, it's kind of dangerous, at least. As far as marriage of the jinn and human being, that is, marriage between a jinn and a human being, there is no proof, absolutely explicit proof, of jinn marrying human beings or human beings marrying jinn. Though some of the great scholars of the past have said that it happened, there's no absolute proof. In fact, a verse in the Quran, and surah called, the surah entitled Ar-Rum, the Romans, chapter 30, verse 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this ayah, it implies that there would not be any intermarriage among jinn and human beings. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And of his signs is this: he created for you mates from yourselves, that you may find rest in them. That you may find that he created mates for you among yourselves. This would imply that we marry human beings and jinn marry jinn. And Allahu A'lam. Yes.
The Safa that talks about the Sahih and the communication with the jinn. The people who follow the rules of making predictions of Allah.
He's asking the question about the jinn who used to eavesdrop on the angels in the heavens and bring them back to the mediums. Inshallah, we're going to come to that. Inshallah. The next topic is, do shaitans die? Do the jinns die? And that one we can go skip right over, because that's very academic. The answer is yes, they do die. And the proof of it is what? Anybody have a proof? A proof meaning a verse of Quran or Hadith. Do jinns have souls? Yeah, the verse in the Quran that we gave for the angels yesterday. Yeah. Surah Rahman, Kullu man alayha fan, wa yabqa wajhi rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. Everything therein shall perish. The only thing that will remain will be wajhullah. Now, the dwelling places or the residences of the jinn, the places and the times that they can be found. مساكين الجن وأماكنهم وأوقات تواجدهم. The jinn live in different places, as we mentioned earlier. They live on the same earth that the human beings live. And most of them can be found in dilapidated places, places where there are many impure things, places where there is kufr and shirk and bid'ah being performed, like bathrooms, crack houses, places where alcohol is being consumed and or sold, hashish dens, the dens of the camels, cemeteries, churches, etc. These are the places of the jinn. Churches, of course. Kufr, shirk. Yes. For that reason, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said that those people who are close to the shaitan usually inhabit these places.
All right? And we know that there's hadith that mentions not praying in bathrooms due to the impurities that are there and because it's the abode of the shaitan. And also, we know we shouldn't pray in cemeteries. Maybe some of us were not aware. No. No. The question was, what about masjids where kufr and shirk is practiced? Unless that masjid has now become a place that is predominant with kufr and shirk, and the kufr and shirk is overwhelmingly practiced instead of iman and tawheed, Islam and tawheed, that may be some discussion in that. But in general, masjids are the places where, you know, the pleasure of Allah is, and the mercy of Allah, and the angels will. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us about the marketplaces. We know that the best places on earth to Allah are the masjids, and that the worst places to Allah on the earth are the marketplaces. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and marketplaces means what? Marketplaces means malls, supermarkets, shopping centers. All of this is marketplaces. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تكونن إن استطعت أول من تدخل السوق ولا آخر من يخرج منها فإنها معركة الشيطان وبها ينصب رايته رواه مسلم في صحيحه. He said, don't, if you can, if you're able, be the first one, and the sisters should really listen to this. The sisters especially should listen to this. Don't be the first one to enter into the marketplace. And don't be the last one to leave it. For they are the places of Shaitan where he raises his flag. Where he raises his flag. Yes. We're getting ready to mention it right now, inshallah. No, I didn't say that it was invalid that that we shouldn't cover our pots and the shaitan comes out at night. I said at that particular time that I said it, that there is no proof from Quran and Sunnah that women have to come in after Maghrib. That's what I said. I didn't say that. I said there's no proof from Quran and Sunnah. I said if that's the case, then they should come in Ma'asim. No, I'm saying my question was on that day, and it still is today, where is the proof from Quran and Sunnah or the Sahaba that women have to, meaning wajib alayhinna, that it's obligatory on them to come in after Maghrib or before Maghrib? Where's the proof? When somebody can bring the proof, as Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هَاتُوا فُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your proof if you're truthful. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. I'm saying bring the proof from the book of Allah or the authenticated sunnah that they have to. Test here of what? Of what ayah? Of what hadith? Yeah, I said, where's the proof that it's obligatory for them to do this?
What's that?
See, that's the point.
That when the sun has set fully,
because you can let them go.
The brother is saying that the end of the hadith says that at the end of the hadith says that when the sun has set fully, then you can let them go.
Because the darkness is the rallying for the
shayateen. Because the darkness is the rallying for the shayateen. The hadith that you're talking about, that he's saying the end of it is general. Means the men too.
I mentioned that.
Right.
Also come in and
just
say, in fact,
further that
Muslims should go out. We love Muslims in pairs, two or three or four, not by themselves,
have to go. Yeah, I'm not trying to start problems.
I'm not bashing.
Yeah, I'm just one who, if you or me or anyone else, it can be Sheikh. Whoever, shake, rattle, and roll, from that word, I care. If you don't have absolute proof from Quran and Sunnah, you know, or from the Sahaba, then we should, you know, no discussion.
We
shall. You're saying in Saudi Arabia, the way that you saw for the 5 months you were there, the women didn't come out after Maghrib? Well, you must have been in the north, brother, because in Medina and Mecca, they out all night. Yeah. So that's not a proof. But see, what they do in Saudi Arabia is not a proof. The proof is Quran. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said that knowledge is qala Allahu, qala Rasuluhu, qala Sahabatuhu. Allah said, the messenger said, and the companion said.
I didn't say the Ten Commandments. The women came out, destroyed by men, or came out from groups, to do shopping, or go to the mosque, or whatever. But they avoided much harm. Now, in the bigger cities, where there's more of a Western influence or a liberal influence, the women come and go.
Yeah. Once again, we still need a proof. Gotta have a proof. Where's the hadith that says escort them to the masjid? You have to find the hadith and bring it. If you can find a hadith where it says escort them to the masjid, then there still is not a proof that they can't go out at night. If that's the case, then that means escort them to the masjid means escort them to the masjid day and night. Inshallah, if you can find it, you find it, inshallah. Are we going to stick towards this thing on jinn and shaitan?
So there's no misunderstanding about the side issue that we went on.
Yeah, let's just forget that and let's go on, inshallah. Okay. The shaitans also live in the same houses that people live in. And according to the scholars of Islam, based on the sunnah, a person can stop the shaitans from entering into their houses by mentioning the name of Allah or by remembering or reciting Quran. Specifically like Surah Al-Baqarah or Ayat Al-Kursi, which is in many cases translated as the verse of the throne. And I'm just to add a piece of information, we should not translate Ayat Al-Kursi as the verse of the throne. It should be the verse of the footstool, not the verse of the throne, because it is not talking about the throne of Allah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that the shaitan spread out and roam about increasingly when dark comes. And therefore, he has advised the Muslims to bring in their children after sunset. Their children after sunset. And this is in Al-Bukhari and it's in Muslim. All right. Also, we know that the shaitans run away when the Adhan is called, because they can't stand listening to it. And they also are chained up when Ramadan comes. Alhamdulillah. There's other times that we know shaitan leaves, and there are other things that are connected to the shaitan that the human being, the Muslims, we should try to stay away from. We know from the authenticated hadith in Al-Bukhari, and in other places, that when a person doesn't cover their mouth, when they yawn, shaitan enters them. We also know when the person says, shaitan laughs at them. We also know that when the person oversleeps for the obligatory Salatul Fajr, at least the Prophet said, "Bala shaitan fi udhunihi." And another hadith that says, "Bala shaitan," another riwayah or narration says, "Bala shaitan fi udhunihi." Shaitan urinates in his ear, and then the other narration says, "Shaitan urinates in his ears," both of them. We also know that the place where the jinn and the shaitan love to sit is between the shaded place and the place where the sunlight is. They like to sit right in between that. Right in between the place where the shade and sunlight. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ has forbade the Muslims to sit in those places. And these hadiths are recorded in the Sunan and others, and this hadith is sahih. We also know that the shaitans have animals, that they are involved with the animals. There's a hadith on Ibn Mas'ud radallahu anhuma that is in the Sahih Muslim, that the jinn asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about their provisions. And he said, "Every bone in which the name of Allah is recited is your provision. The time it will fall in your hand, it will be covered with flesh. And the dung of the camels is fodder for your animals." So this lets us know through this that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us that they possess animals. Alright. Also, there's some specific animals that the shaitans accompany. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام has said that إِنَّ الْإِبْلَ خُلِقَتْ مِنَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَإِنَّ وَرَاءَ كُلِّ بَعِيرٍ شَيْطَانًا. This hadith is narrated by Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan. And this hadith, it is a Mursal Hasan chain that Alhamdulillah is usable. The hadith says that verily the camels have been created from shaitans. And behind every camel is a shaitan. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, "Can we make salah in the den of the sheep?" He said, "Na'am, sallu fiha fa'innaha barakah." Pray in it, because there's blessings. Then they asked him, "Can we pray in the corral or the watering place or the holding place or the standing place of the camels?" He said, "La." He said, "فَإِنَّ الْإِبْلَ خُلِقَتْ مِنَ الْجَانِ." In another narration he said, "خُلِقَتْ مِنَ الشَّيَاطِينِ." Because they are created from the jinn. And another narration says, because they are created from shayateens. Alright, so this just gives us some added information on the places which we can't pray. Because most Muslims think that you can't pray in bathrooms and cemeteries. But this shows you again that there's some other places where you can't pray. Yeah, there's seven places, there's actually nine. There's actually nine places. Seven are mentioned in one hadith and one hadith by itself, and there's two other places that are not mentioned. The other two added places are churches where the shirk is actually happening at that time. And the other one, my memory doesn't serve me correctly.
Pardon? I mean, I had a discussion with you when I was a man 3 years ago. Who's a member of the MSA? Am I trying to about having meetings and Islamic prayers in churches. That Umar, right out when praying on the steps of the church in Jerusalem, he didn't go into the church itself. I suppose he didn't believe praying inside the church. Can you hear some?
No, because it's not dealing with the shaitan. Then also, is recorded in the Muslim Ibn Ahmad ibn Hanbal in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood that the Prophet ﷺ said,
ولا تصلوا في أعطان الإبل فإنها خلقت من الشياطين. Don't pray in the pastures of the camels, for they are from shaitan. And then another narration says, pray in the fields of the sheep for their blessings. And also in the Sunnah of Ibn Majah, he said, don't pray near the water holes of the camels, for they have been created from the shaitan. I don't know, I'm not absolutely sure, if this is the reason why we have to make wudu when you eat camel meat. For those who don't know, when you eat camel meat, you have to make wudu. It breaks your wudu. I don't know if this is the reason. Allahu A'lam. And I'm not going to speculate or increase on this conversation on it. Right. The reason, I don't know. Incidentally, these particular hadiths that we just mentioned are refute their refutations on the claim that the reason that is forbidden to pray in the places of the camels is that their urine and their dung is impure. This is a proof against that. Because the urine and the dung of any animal that's permissible to eat, we know is pure. So this is a proof for that. Now we go to Qabsh Surati Shaitan. How does Shaitan look? The ugliness of Shaitan. We know that Shaitan is ugly. And ugly is an understatement. He's extremely ugly. How do we know? Because there's a verse in the Quran, in the surah Saffat. I'll get these surahs one day.
37?
Thank you. Saffat, surah 37, verse 62 to 65, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أذلك خير نزلا أم شجرة الزقوم إنا جعلناها فتنة للظالمين إنها شجرة تخرج في أصل الجحيم. Is this better as a welcome or the tree of Zakum? Surely we have appointed it a torment for the wrongdoers. Surely it is a tree that springs in the heart of hell. Then the 65th ayah says, تَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Its crop is as it were the heads of shaitans. So this is a proof that shaitan has a head that is ugly. There's also a hadith where if the hadith is authentic, that a man was seen by the Prophet ﷺ, if the hadith is authentic, and his hair was disheveled, and the Prophet allegedly said, if the hadith is authentic, why doesn't he do something with his hair? He has his hair looking like the hair of Shaitan. So if this hadith is authentic, it lets us know that Shaitan has hair on his head. I don't know. No, that's not it. No. It's not the same one in 40 hadith. Yes. Comes in the form of what? I don't know of any evidence that says Shaitan comes in the form of a woman and leaves thereof. I don't know. If there's an authentic hadith like this, inshallah, bring it. So we can check it. To the best of my knowledge, the shaitan do not have the ability to take the form of human beings. To the best of my knowledge. Inshallah, we'll discuss it though. In the Middle Ages,
there's something in the law too spoke about how the jinn said deceived the Sufis by coming in the form.